Praise the Lord, beloved. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We expect Satan to do his work. That's what he does, trying to block God's word. That's what he does. Something very simple. But nevertheless, we're here. We give God the praise for allowing us to be here on this another Sunday, another Sabbath day, a day that we set aside to be able to worship and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to be able to do it together with you who are watching us. First of all, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for just being here with us and for being with each and every one, each and every household that is being represented. We pray, Lord, that you will allow your precious spirit to move upon the tables of our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would endue us with wisdom and understanding, that we might be able to rightly divide your word and rightly receive your word as it goes forth. We pray, Father, that you would bless us, enlighten us, illuminate us, and just allow us to be the lights that you would have us to be, even in this dark and dismal world. I pray, Lord, that you allow me to give forth your word as you would have it to be given, void of my pride and my vanity and my ego, Lord, but praying always, Heavenly Father, that your word goes forth and that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you'll be glorified. This I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Let us go right into the word today. We're going to be coming to you from the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter, verses 5 through 8 in particular, which I'll be reading today from the King James Version. And we're going to look a little bit maybe at a couple of other verses. We'll get there as we go along. In particular, though, I will say we will be visiting Ephesians, the second chapter, and the eighth verse in particular as well. There may be others, but we'll definitely look at Genesis and Ephesians today. Ephesians, we'll be reading from the New International Version, the eighth verse. Let us hear what thus says the word of the Lord, beginning at Genesis 6. Chapter 5, verse. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're going to stop there for right now. We will get to Ephesians in a little bit, but we're going to stop there right now. Now, we understand. We understand that man's wickedness, his sin, had reached to a level that made God sorry that he'd even made it. Wow. I mean, I want you to pause there for a second. Just think about that. Think about that. How great could this wickedness be that it made God sorry that it even made it? And I'm going to shame God. God, who knows everything, was sorry that it even made it. Wow. Now, we understand that God decided to destroy man because of this wickedness, because of his sin. His sin just got out of proportion. And we understand that God chose to have the world flooded out. We know that. Many of you have heard this ever since you were a toddler, going to Bible school, going to Sunday school. You've heard the story of Noah and the flood. And we understand that after the flood, the world was populated through Noah and his family. Excuse me. We know that there's nobody else left. I mean, that's nothing to debate about, think about. We know that there was only Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. Eight people. Okay, we know that. And we understand that Noah found favor, grace with God. And don't get that. I don't want you to get that thought out of your mind. I want you to let that kind of fester in your mind right now. Noah found favor with God. And we understand that Noah was given strict instructions on what to do. And we understand. Now, this phrase, this is our subject for today. We understand that Noah believed God. That is our subject for today. Noah believed God. Okay. Now we understand that. How do we understand that? One, because we're here. Two, because what Noah proceeded to do when God gave him some instructions. Now let's start right here. I'm just going to get right into this. Let's start right here at verse 8 in Genesis, as we've already read for you. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to try to imagine how great, again, the wickedness of mankind must have been throughout the whole world. Now, how great could this wickedness have been that God didn't destroy a family? No, you can say, listen, this was the Manson family, the Hitler family, the Stalin family, and we can go on, some people that I don't even recollect right in this moment. I'm going to destroy this family. This is a wicked family. It's a sinful family. It's an evil family. I'm just going to destroy them. But God didn't do that. It destroyed family. He didn't do that. What about the village? This place where they come from. They're all around this same little area. I'm going to destroy this village. Oh, I'm going to destroy this city where they all are. I'm going to destroy it. They're just too sinful. Okay? I'm going to destroy them in case some of them decided to leave from their household and travel abroad. I'm just going to destroy the whole city wherever they could have gone. Didn't do that either. Not the village or city. He said, listen, I'm going to destroy the continent. Wow. Wow. In case while they out there traveling, doing these simple things, they might have impregnated somebody or got pregnant by someone. And I don't want that child to even grow up. I'm going to destroy the whole continent. Make sure that they're wiped out. But he didn't do that either. God chose to destroy the whole world. That sin was so great that God destroyed the whole world, only sparing Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Now, some people want to argue, oh man, God could have did this. Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? One, you're talking about God to begin with. But two, instead of looking at it from that perspective, why don't you look at it this simple way? That must have been that sin must have been terrible. You read for yourself in Genesis. I gave you the book and I gave you the chapter. You can read prior to that and see what man was doing that sin was so great that God said, I got to destroy it all. Made me sick that I made you. So I'm going to destroy all of them. But in all of that sin that they were doing, all the wicked things that they were doing, and all the, again, all of the just simple things they were committing before God, and all of this, and everything that man was doing, they said that people were doing whatever they imagined in their heart to do, they did it. What would happen if I did such and such and such? Let me do it and see. What would happen if I did this to so and so and so on? Let me do it and see. Whatever they imagined to do, they were doing. And we're not talking about good, favorable things, wicked, sinful things. Some of you are saying, man, I could think of some terrible things, and I have read of some terrible things and heard of some terrible things. That's what they were doing. If you can imagine it, you can think it, you heard of it, that's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. Okay. But in all this what's going on throughout the whole world, and all of this evilness and all of this wickedness, Noah found grace or favor with God. You know, let me try to paint a little very simple picture that you've heard me probably say in the past. In my younger days, in my teens, me and some of my good friends were traveling on our way to New York. And me being young and not all that experienced in the world, I found this to be the way I visioned it to be amazing. We went through, we had arrived someplace in New York, and I believe we had came through some type of tunnel or whatever we had came through. Like I said, I was inexperienced. And all I saw was a bunch of X-rated movie theaters. A whole, like, seemed like a whole row of them, a whole block, I guess, of them. But in the middle of them, in the middle of all these theaters, was at that time what we call Kentucky Fried Chicken today, was Geno's then. Was Geno's right in the middle of them. And I just thought that, wait a minute. You got X-rated joints on the left, X-rated places on the right, and a Kentucky Fried Chicken or Geno's in the middle. It just seemed funny to me. We didn't have the cell phones then, and you couldn't just take a picture of it like that. We didn't have that. But that's the way it looked like to me. You know, and I just thought that was something. So you try to imagine what I'm saying to you, try to imagine. You got all kind of simple things happening over here. You got all kind of simple things happening over there. And in the middle, there goes Noah, who found grace, favor in the sight of God. Something about the way he was living and conducting himself that he found favor with God. He said, oh, I see what's going on. Okay. Now, the word uses found sight. I mean, he's observing Noah. He's seeing what Noah's doing, how he's conducting himself. And God liked that. In the midst of everything that's going on, in the midst of the thieves, the lying, the murdering, and whatever else was going on, debauchery, all kinds of stuff going on, Noah found grace. He found favor in the sight of God. Okay, now you got that. Okay, now this is very important, beloved. This is very important. We can look back in hindsight and see why it was important, but you try to picture as this thing is unfolding how important this is with all this sin running so rampant in the world. There's somebody who still believe in God and conducting themselves in such a manner that God is pleased with how they live. Now, there's some who are going to say, well, I don't know if God was so much pleased with him. He just had to have somebody here to record the story. That sounds plausible to some, and that will make sense to a lot of people. But the word said, God, Noah found favor in the sight of God. God was looking at him in the sight of God. The way he was conducting himself with everything going around about him, with all the different influences going around about him, how he was raising his children, how he and his wife was conducting themselves. God found favor with Noah. In the midst of everything that might have been going on, there was still a man who could say, as for me and my household. He did not say that. No, we'd have to have him recorded it, but he had to be conducted himself in a manner that God found favor with, because God did. He said so. He found favor with God. Don't get that out of your head. Keep that embedded in your thoughts, that Noah found grace. Because we're talking about how Noah believed God. I want y'all to stay with me. Stay with me. I'm not going to be that long. Now, I told you that we would be looking at Ephesians, the second chapter and the eighth verse. This is what it says there as I'm reading it from the New International Version. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, some of you say, oh, I've read this and heard this 1,000 times. Okay. Now, I want to say this here, and I'm not going to stay on it too long. Y'all just stay with me. Faith and belief can be used interchangeably in this context. Okay, I could say, for it is by grace you have been saved through belief. I could say that, but you don't have to take my word for it. Read it for yourself. That's why I give it to you. See if it fits. See if it makes sense. Use your Strong's and whatever concordances you may want to use and see if this fits. Okay? For it is by grace through faith you have been saved. Now, this, okay, I believe is a very misunderstood verse. Okay? By a lot of people. Of course, that means there's a lot of people who got it. But there's a lot of people who misunderstand this verse. There's a lot of people who go on and believe that it is grace, simple grace, that saved them, the grace of God. And a lot of people take that and they run with it. And that's good. But that's part one of one. See, I don't want to say there's one and then there's two. No, there's one and then there's one. But there's one A that goes right along with it. This is part one. Okay, now that you say, well, what are you saying? Let me make this clear to you. Okay, because God, yes, He is sovereign, and there's a lot of people that want to say that God chooses to save who He wants to. He can do that. That is God. If He chose to do it that way, there's nobody that can go against it. You may not like it. You may not think it's fair. You can think whatever you want. But we're talking about God. But that is not what God said He did. He didn't just arbitrarily, bless someone and save them out of His, just let His favor just go on out there. I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. That's not what He did. You say, well, how can you make that statement? How can you make that statement, Brother Cotton? Look at what he says here. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Well, not just arbitrarily grace out there, through faith, through belief. Remember what we're talking about. Noah believed God. I want you to get this. I want you to get this, okay? Because I'm almost finished. Trust me when I tell you this, beloved, I'm almost finished, okay? I want you to understand how important believing is. Noah believed God. I want you to get this. It's a very little subtle thing. Some people may not think it's important, but for those who are going around telling folks, "Oh, I'm saved, you know, by grace," you're partly correct. Okay, you're partly correct, but that is what I'm gonna say. Y'all ain't gonna like this. A lot of you not gonna like it, but that is not enough. That's not enough. You say, "Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. I believe in God, and you're telling me that's not enough?" I can give you verse after verse where it says, "Yes, you need to believe." The word said, "Just believe, believe in me, believe." And yes, that is partly correct. Partly correct. And I'm not taking anything away from it. If you don't do that, that's part one. If you don't do that, you don't have a chance. You got to believe. But watch this. But watch this. When you're talking about your commitment to Jesus, when you're talking about your commitment to his teaching, to his way, watch this. Believing in God is only part one of your commitment. There are many people who proclaim their belief in God. Many. Okay. But when it comes to obeying what the Lord says, they must not just believe him. Okay. They have to believe, excuse me, not just to believe in him, they have to believe him. Now watch, there are many people, like I said, who proclaim they believe in God, but when it comes to obeying what the Lord says, they must not believe him because they don't do it. They must not believe him. Now you say you believe in him. You believe that there's a God. You believe that God did this, God made this, God created this, God does this, God, and you believe all of that. But you must not believe him. You must not believe what he says because you're not doing what he says. But don't take my word for it. Let's go a little bit further. Like I said, I'm about finished. Jesus says that we love him, we'll keep his commandments. If you love me, you believe in me, you'll do what I say. You'll do what I say. You can't say that you believe something and then don't act on it. These words require action. These are verbs. Now I'm just bringing you simple English. It's like telling somebody you love them. I love you, and then I walk away and never call you again. Don't come see you again. Don't write you a letter. Don't do anything. How in the world do you know if I love you if I show you no expression of it? You've just talked about that. How? How can you know? I say, yes, I believe in you. How do I prove it? How do I show it? I'm not even talking about showing it to the whole world. How are you showing God that you believe in him? How are you showing him? How are you doing it? Believe in you, God. What is it about me you believe in? Or you believe that I made all of this stuff? How are you showing it? He said, "Oh, you're showing it through your praise." Okay. You're showing it through your worship. You're showing it because I'm giving God the glory in our living, you know. Okay. This is your way of showing me. And the way that you do your praise, the way that you worship, it may be in different ways. I don't know how you express that. Maybe you express it in your song. Maybe you express it in your prayer. Maybe you express it in your art, or you present, you know, there's different ways that you do that, and and the Lord will receive that if that's where you do that from your art. Yes, but you must show it. God said, if you Believe me, if you love me, you'll do what I say. You don't have to guess. What? How can I show God that I love him? How can I show God? Yes, I believe in him. How can I show God that I believe? I believe him. Do what he says. Do what he says. Believing in God is part one of our commitment to Jesus. Part 1A is believing God. Like I said, I believe in you. I'm believing what you say. How do I show that I believe in you? I'm going to believe what you say. You may not be physically in front of me. You may not be visually in front of me. But you gave me your word. You gave me your written word. Okay, you gave me direction, teaching, leading through your precious Holy Spirit. And I'm going to believe them. I'm going to believe you, Lord, when you say, don't go, I don't want you to go this way, I want you to go that way. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you when you tell me to do something that is totally out of my comfort zone. But I know that it comes from you. I'm going to do it. In this very sixth chapter of Genesis that we just read, a portion of it for you. In that 22nd verse, you'll find these words written. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. He believes in God. They converse. God talked to him, told him what to do, instructed him on what to do. They had their conversation. For the most part, Noah listened. How do we know? Because he did it. There's no question about it. He didn't hear it. He didn't get the instruction because he did it just as God told him to do so. He believed in him, believed it was God who spoke to him. You see, he had to believe it. Can you imagine? Listen to this here. Okay. Now, Noah was about 500 years old. He was about 500 years old, okay, when the Bible mentions him beginning to work on the ark. He's about 500. And it took him around 100 years to complete it before the floods came. Now, some will say 120. We're not going to haggle over the years. It's around that time. Okay. Now, I don't know. I can only imagine, as any of us can, because none of us were here. We can only imagine the type of ridicules, not ridicule, just one way of ridicule, the type of ridicules that Noah must have gone through for these 100 years or so of building an ark. Now, how much sense, somebody might say, would it make sense to build an ark? It'd be like building an ark in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Ain't no water around there. Ain't no river here. What in the world, you building an ark? I can see if you told me you were building, starting a ditch that's going to go from where you are, that's going to go way, way, way somewhere where the river goes, and you're going to build it from there. That would make sense. If you told me this might take you 100 years to build that, that would make sense to me because that makes sense. But you're talking about here on dry land in an area where we don't know nothing about even rain, you're going to build an ark. So I've heard some people say, listen, when word of this got around, people were coming from miles around to see this crazy man building this great big boat, this big old ocean liner up here in the dry area of the world. People were laughing, joking, bringing their kids to go see this. When the kids got grown, okay, they would marry and bring their kids. Look at this man. This man been doing this thing since I was a kid. He been building this thing. Okay. I mean, 40 years ago, he was building it. Some of them got older. 50 years ago, he was building it. 60 years ago, he was still building it. Here he is still building this thing. It ain't rained yet. Ain't no river flowing. There ain't no, not even a stream going through here. And this man is building an ark. He must be out of his mind. Everybody just making a big joke about it, laughing about it. He said, well, you're just a guessing about that. Well, I don't think it's a big guess, being that the only people that were saved, we look back in hindsight, the only people that were saved was Noah and his family. So I can't see that there were anybody else who really took him serious, because they sure didn't. Because those who say, going around talking about, I believe in God, I believe in the God of Abraham, well, when they hadn't come along, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I believe it. No, none of that was going on. Because if they did believe it in him, they sure didn't believe him. As Noah, because as Noah is building this ark, telling folks, repent, repent. Building, teaching the whole time, repent. Repent. People say he's been saying that same message for decades. Repent. Repent. I remember hearing my father, when I was a kid, you say N Noah had said so long it seemed like every time the hammer would hit a nail. Repent. 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 That's all that folks could hear. Repent. Repent. You know. Some say that, man, he's preaching the same old message. Well, y'all haven't gotten that message. I ain't no need changing it to another one. Repent. Repent, repent. And this goes on for over 100 years. Noah doing this as he's building the ark, as he's preparing, the animals to enter the ark. He's doing everything that God told him to do. Not just building the ark, but preparing, like I said, the animals, the fowls of the air, the things that are crawling on the earth. He told him to bring them all in there. Bring him in there. And that's what he was doing. Then finally, when God sealed the door, talking about you got them all in there, God sealed the door and the rains began. Now, some people emphasize, like I said, I'm not going to belabor this that long, but God had to seal the door. That means so much to every one of us. It lets us know that when God seals it, it does not become unsealed unless he unseals it. For one, nobody, no man can open that which God closed. Just like no man can close something that God opens. And not even Noah. Not even Noah. Because I could only imagine how his heart would feel as he's inside the ark and you hear the knocking. Let us in, Noah. Let us in. Maybe it would pierce his heart to hear people crying. Maybe there's a mother there crying with an infant in her arms. Noah, let me in, my baby in. It, even if you don't want to let me in, take my ch baby. Young children. Young children crying. Let us in, Noah. Let us in, Mr. Noah. Let us in. It might have touched his heart. That's why God said, no, I'll seal this. I'll seal it. Ain't no window for them to creep into. I ain't got but one way up there. Ain't got but one. No. I'll seal it. Nobody's coming in. And no one and nothing is going out until I say so. This is God. And this is what God did. And this is what Noah did. And the rains went on. Rains went on. Some allude that it might have gone on for a year or whatever. I don't know. All I know is it rained until everything was covered. Everything was covered. Now, beloved, I'll say this and then I'll finish. Many of us make all types of excuses, justifications, rationalizations, procrastinations, and whatever when it comes to doing what God says. We want to justify what we're doing to make things, well, it's all right. We want to get into doctrinal issues. We want to get into all type of theological discourses. When God says to do so, well, God didn't really mean it this way. He said, listen, I don't see any of that with Noah. Noah did what God told him to do. Now you say, well, that was Noah. Well, let me tell you, let me put it to you like this here. Noah did what God told him to do, and Noah had found favor with God. Don't negate that. Noah found grace in the sight of God. Okay? By the way he was living, by what he was doing. I don't know what it was, and neither does anyone else. All I know that in the midst of everything that was going on, in the midst of all of man's wickedness, in the midst of all of man's sin, there was one man who found grace in the sight of God. Because Noah believed God. Because of that, along with the grace that God set him aside to do a special job. Noah believed God. I don't see what Noah said. Well, God, you do know we're out here in dry land, and well, God, you do know that there's no water that's ever been around these parts, and God, you do know that there's no rain that's even come around here before, and I don't see any of that. All I see is where God gave Noah instruction and Noah followed it because he believed God. But what about us? We're modern now. Okay? I mean, we got technology right in the tips of our hands, even through our phones. Because of the phones that we have now, we can get all kinds of information right there almost instantaneously. But when it comes to what God tells us something to do, we have to question it. We got to line it up. Does it line up with what the theologians say, with what the scholars say, with what the Bible has given me instruction. The Bible has given you instruction. The Holy Spirit, who is your teacher, I'm talking to believers right this moment. The Holy Spirit who is teaching you has given you instructions, yet you want to question it. But it always amazes me how we don't question when man gives us something that we get on buses, we get on planes, we get on trains, we do all this. We don't check for somebody's credentials. How long you've been driving, how long you've been flying. How long you've been captain of a boat? How long we don't go around questioning that. You go to a restaurant, you sit down, you order your food, you sit down and start eating. How long you been cooking? Are you really sure about the seasons that you use? You don't go around questioning them. But when the Lord gives us something to do, we have to question it. We spend time questioning it. Why? Because it's not something we normally do. Why? Because it may not make sense to us. Why? Because it's taking me out of my comfort zone. So I got to make sure that it's God that's telling me this. Instead of simply looking at what it is he's telling me to do, is it something that he will get glory out of? Is it something that up builds the kingdom of God? If it is, then what am I questioning? You say, oh man, you did something wrong. What did I do wrong now? Oh yeah, you did wrong because you built another church, a local church, and God didn't want you to build that church. He wanted you to build it on the north side. You built it on the south side. Well, he didn't really tell you to build it at all. But what did you do that was so wrong? We don't look at it that way. We need to do, as I've heard it said years ago, instead of saying, "Okay, Lord, here's the contract. All these things are in here, Lord. Okay, if you do all these things, Lord, I'll do all of those things on, let's sign it." God says, "No, here's a blank piece of paper. You put your signature on it. I'll fill it out as you go along. That's all you need to know. I'll fill it out." This is what belief is. This is what believing in God is. This is why you need to understand your belief is in two parts, one and one A. Your belief in God and your believing God. It's not enough just to go on talking, "I believe in God." The devils believe. Pharaoh believed in God. Pilate believed in God. Judas believed in God. Even Satan and his demons believe in God. But they don't believe him. They didn't believe him. Otherwise, they would have did what he said. Otherwise, they would not have done that which they knew was against what God was about. You must believe in God, and you must believe him totally. And he says, "Believe in your heart." That doesn't just mean, "Okay, well, this is a service." I believe totally. It's in me. It's a part of me. Okay, it's not just a surface belief. It's in me. I believe him. I totally believe him. I believe him. I believe in him completely. Noah believed God. He didn't just believe in him. He believed God. God said, "Do that which makes no sense. Build that which makes no sense. Build it where it makes no sense." God and Noah believed God. What about us? And all of our modern technology and all of the knowledge that we have at our disposal, with all the apparent wisdom that we have in front of us, how come many of us still don't believe God? That's why God said, "Hey, if you believe me, you'll do this. You'll do that." Noah believed God. And God is requiring us to believe him. He's requiring us to believe him. That's why he left his holy writ for us. His holy Bible is for us. Believe that. He laid it upon the hearts of men, inspired them to write these words for us. You need to know how to get from point A to point B. Let me spell it out for you. And as you are reading what the Lord says, he's going to even write upon the tables of your heart. He's going to make you to understand his word by way of his Holy Spirit who teaches us. We're going to be, yes, like the Ethiopian eunuch. "Yes, I believe." Or we're going to be like the one that says, "Okay, Lord, I not just help me with my unbelief, but I need somebody to help me, to teach me." And he said, "I got teachers around you, true teachers, to help you to understand what it is you're reading." Noah believed God. He had no special teacher to help him. He relied on God. He believed what God said. I don't care what the rest of the world is doing. I don't care what the rest of the world is saying. I believe God. Are you saying that today? I hear what's being done popularly. I see what the world is doing, but I also see what God is doing. I also read what God has said. I also see what God has to say about what is going on in the world even today. And guess what? I believe God. Are you saying the same thing? In this world, you say this is difficult to believe God with everything that's going on. How you think Noah felt? To the left of him, sin. To the right of him, wickedness. And here he is in the middle of it, believing God. Beloved, beloved, you say you love the Lord. You say you love God. You say you believe in him, but are you believing him? When he tells you to turn from your wicked ways, are you believing him? When he tells you to walk in the path that he has ordered for you, even though you may find yourself walking by yourself, even though your path may take you away from your comfort zone, it may take you away from family, it may take you away from friends, it may take you away from loved ones. Are you still believing God that that's the way he wants you to go? And you're going to go. Are you ready to do that? Folks are going to laugh at you. They're going to ridicule you. But are you still willing to do what God has told you to do? Why in the world are you preaching to dry bones? Can these bones live? God told me to preach this word that I'm preaching it. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to stand where nobody else is willing to stand? Are you willing to say that which nobody else is willing to say? Are you willing to be in a place where you realize it may cost you even your very life? Are you willing to do that because that's what God wants you to do? You don't care about the consequences because worse comes to worse. I'm going to be with my Lord. Yes, they may kill you for it. They may imprison you for it. But are you willing to do what God wants you to do simply because you believe God? Just like Noah, believe God. I'm saying to you, you who are saying, yes, I want to do that. I want to believe God. I want to believe when he says that, yes, he died for me, that he came here to die for me, that he suffered, bled, and again died for me, that he was beaten for me. I want to believe that. And I want to believe that he did that because that's the only way that I will be able to spend eternity with him. That's the only way that I can get past the wrath that is to come because I'm with Jesus. I'm standing on the Lord's side. Are you prepared to believe God when he says you must be born again? Are you prepared to do that right now? Are you willing to do this? As the prophet said, listen, how long are you going to sit there and be wishy-washy? How long are you going to stay in there, tossed, trapped between two opinions? If you're going to follow the ways of the world, then go do it. Don't halfway do it, do it. Enjoy yourself. But if you say, I'm going to go with the Lord, I'm going to believe God, then do that. But God said, whatever you do, make up your mind. Stop being lukewarm, trying to stay in the middle because you're making me sick. You're upsetting my stomach. Make me sick to my stomach, God said. Knowing that if you don't commit to me, there's only one other option. This is what the Lord is telling us. There's no halfway in. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling those around you. There's no halfway in. Either you're going to do it my way Well, you're not. You say, Lord, I want to do it your way. I don't know if I can. No, you cannot. I can answer that for you right now myself. No, you cannot do it. I can't do it. But through the Lord, through faith, through believing, and believing in God as well as believing Him, I can claim those passages of scripture that He's left here for us, knowing that I can do all things, not most, not some, not the majority, all things through Him who's leading me. I know that Lord wants me to go down this path, but Lord, I can't do it. I can't walk that street. I can't walk down there without stopping over to this left side for a drink. I can't walk that way without going to the right side, to the house of ill repute. I can't walk that way without hanging with some people that don't want to do nothing, just rabble rouse. I can't do that. But the Lord said, yes, but walk with me. And I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I direct you. You just make that step towards me. And I'll meet you. Some say, well, if we make that step, God will meet us halfway. We may not be able to make it halfway. God said, you just make that step towards me. I'm right here. I don't have to get there. I'm right here. I'll walk with you. And if I need to, I'll carry you. I'll be your shepherd. I'll be whatever you need. This is what the Lord has given us, has guaranteed us, the assurances he has given us. And you're saying, yes, I want that. Then all you have to do is ask the Lord to be your personal Savior. You recognize that He is God. You believe that He is God. You believe that He is Lord. You believe that He is Savior. But now you need to make Him your Savior. You need to make Him your Lord. But that's what He said for us to do. Don't just believe in me. Believe me. Believe me when I tell you that I am the way. This is what Jesus said. I am the way. There is no other way. You have to be like Noah. Believe me and believe in me. There are some of you, as we always appeal to those of you who have gone on your own direction, each one who's gone astray, each one gone his own way. All of us like sheep have done that. But he's saying, no, you need to come back. Let me be your shepherd. That's what the Lord is saying. And that's what he'll do for you. That you can say, just like the word said about Noah, believe God. Put your name there. I can say, Henry, believe God. Whatever your name might be, you put your name there. Say, I believe God. I believe him when he told me he died for me. I believe him when he said to me, yes, if I believe in him, he'll set me free. I believe him. If you've done that, praise the Lord. Thank you for, being another addition to the kingdom of God. God bless you. Saints, I'll say this to you and I'm done. In the midst of everything that's going wrong, in the midst of everyone that's going wrong, in the midst of everything that seems so wicked and sinful and dark, believe God. Just like Noah believed God. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you for your word. We glorify you, Father, for just enlightening us today in your word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to lead, guide, and direct us. Even as we go through this day, Father, we pray that we can do so, living, walking in your spirit, letting our light so shine even before men. praying that we govern ourselves in such a manner, Father, that even those in the world be able to see you through us, that you might get the glory out of our life living. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.